Welcome to WP Coffee Talk. Thank you to our sponsor, Helix Managed WordPress Hosting, for both their sponsorship and hosting our site, WPCoffeeTalk.com. Now on to our episode. Welcome to another episode of WP Coffee Talk. Today, I have one of my good friends with me today. Mike Demo from BoldGrid is here. And Mike, you and I have known each other for quite a few years now, mostly through WordCamps.
Yeah, it's been a while. Yeah, definitely, I think, through WordCamps. But we did the circuit, and I think we knew each other even before you started at Impress. So, yes. And then you got that wonderful job, and then we see each other even more because you're going to more WordCamps now for them. So, yeah, known each other for quite a bit.
Yeah, it's been fun getting to know you over the years and counting you as a friend now as opposed to that guy across the way.
It can be both, I mean.
Well, I mean, it still is both for sure. So, you know, introduce yourself, tell us what you do, a little bit about who you are, that kind of thing.
Yeah, my name is Mike Demo. I am the evangelist for BoldGrid. BoldGrid is a suite of plugins for WordPress to make WordPress easier. And my job is just community, go around to different WordCamps and hosting events and just get to know people and try to help them in any way that I can. And I'm lucky enough to travel full time for BoldGrid and support the brand and help the community. So I'm very fortunate. This has been my dream job for almost a decade. And when I got the opportunity to jump over from my agency job to BoldGrid, I took it in a heartbeat.
That's awesome. So I love my title. You know, my title is head of customer success. I love that title. But I think that maybe evangelist is the one title that might trump mine. That is the coolest title ever. And I know it's not new. I know that, you know, there are evangelists in different industries and everything, but it's just like, there's such a happiness that comes with that title.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, ever since I heard about technical evangelists a while ago, I always wanted to be one, and I always thought it was the coolest title. It has a weird side effect, though. When you tell someone that's not in our space, oh, what do? Oh, I am a web evangelist. They're like, oh, yeah, so religious stuff. And I'm like, no. So I've gotten into some very, very interesting conversations in Ubers by Uber drivers on both ends of that spectrum. So now my go-to, it's really weird because, I mean, you know, so now my default answer, if the person doesn't know tech or something, I'm like in an Uber, oh, what do you do? I'm a digital evangelist. It's not a religious thing. Just to get that out there, because they're like, oh, where do you go to seminary? And I'm like, the Art Institutes International?
So you don't marry people online? It's like you're not performing digital weddings?
Well, no, I'm ordained. I got ordained in high school by the Universal Life Church, like everyone did. That was cool in the 90s. I mean, I'm ordained, but I haven't performed any weddings. Although I did have a friend this weekend. She was like, hey, does any of my friends know can perform a wedding ceremony this weekend? I have these two friends that need to get married and something fell through. And then like, I am ordained, but I need to get registered in the county of the wedding. And it was like Friday afternoon. I'm like, I probably don't have time to do that because you have to go get registered and through the city clerk. So, yeah, I am ordained from the Universal Life Church, which back when we were getting married, the church that my wife and I belonged to wouldn't marry us because we were living together. So Yeah. And, you know, when there's parent organizations and they get money, they have to follow the rules, even though I've known the senior pastor for years and he really felt bad. So we actually took the youth pastor, who was my best friend at the time. We got him ordained at the same Universal Life Church. He registered locally and he performed our wedding as a clergy of the Universal Life Church, even though he was also the youth pastor at the church we belong to. So it has a purpose. And I mean, it gets some of that red tape out of the way.
I will say somewhere in the archives of my email, I have that same email that says I am ordained. So, but yeah. I have performed weddings. I've performed 16 different weddings for people here in New York. So,
excellent.
It's kind of fun. Yeah. So one of the things I ask every person is show me your mug. So what mug do you have with you today?
I have the Adventurers Club mug. Mm-hmm. And the Adventurers Club used to be at Pleasure Island at Walt Disney World. And the Adventurers Club is a local chapter of the Society of Explorers and Adventurers, the SEA. And the SEA is a secret society in every Disney park in the world. Disney doesn't have any public thing noted on it, but every park you can find references to the Society of Explorers and Adventurers. Disneyland, Disneyland Paris, Disney World, a bunch of attractions tie into it. So this is overarching universe. And Indiana Jones actually ties into the SEA because the SEA is referenced in the Indiana Jones ride at Disneyland. So it's, and we have in a Jungle Cruise movie, which is coming by the by Dwayne Johnson. And the Jungle Cruise is also part of the SEA, SEA universe. So they might be making a Disney Parks cinematic universe without telling us. It's in the Marvel comics. It's mentioned in the Big Thunder Mountain or the Enchanted Tiki Room. Marvel comics. I'm a big fan of the Society of Explorers and Adventurers, and I miss the Adventurers Club. I used to go there every night for 2 years. It was my home away from home, and I'm so sad it closed. But we have Trader Sam's now, which is kind of like the Adventurers Club used to be. But yeah, I still know the secret handshake. I still am in touch with some of the former cast members who performed the different roles at the Adventurers Club. And when our friend Roy took me to the studio archives, he had an Adventurers, all the Adventurers Club stuff laid out. And you can see pictures on my Twitter of like the Colonel and all that stuff and some of the masks and some of the other stuff. So, yeah. So, for those of you that know what I'm talking about, Congaloosh. And, yeah, so this is the Adventurers Club. And it says on here, Congaloosh, which is the phrase. And it also says, come in a stranger, leave a little stranger, which was the tagline of the Adventurers Club. And it also says, an adventurer's life is best, because that was part of the song.
Oh, that's awesome. And what's in your mug today?
Balls, B-A-W-L-S.
I'm glad you specified that.
Yeah, and for those of you that need a visual reference, this is the can of my balls. I got in a lot of trouble by drinking these in high school because I was a freshman in high school and, you know, jokes were jokes. And, yeah, I actually got an in-school suspension for it. it's a energy drink made out of guarana that I have to get from. Shipped from Florida. I can get the full sugar one here, but the Ball Zero I have to get shipped by the case. So it's a very light energy drink. It's like one of the first energy drinks back in the day that didn't taste bad. Cause like, remember in like the 90s where like Red Bull was getting popular and all these energy drinks were like the worse it tastes, the more energy you get. And so like everything was like really bad tasting, and it was like a selling point because it made you think that, oh well, this must be good because it tastes like junk. This went in the opposite direction. It's a very light flavor, not syrupy. There's a lot of caffeine. In high school I did a caffeine contest where a bunch of us tracked how much caffeine we were taking at a convention by coffees, and we would log the milligrams, and I had double the lethal dose, which I didn't know there was a lethal dose at the time.
I didn't either.
When I looked it up on like WebMD, I had double the lethal dose, and I felt pretty bad, but I did not die.
Which is a good thing, absolutely.
Yeah, so now I'm down to one a day, so.
Well, that's probably healthier.
It's an improvement.
Well, my mug is another one of my Wonder Woman mugs. This is
that's the DC universe.
It is, but they don't have Wonder Woman in the Marvel universe, so
they got Captain Marvel.
Yeah, well, now.
What do you mean now? What do you mean now? Captain Marvel's not new.
No, but she wasn't always a woman, was she?
Yes, you're confusing two different characters.
Okay, well then we'll have to have a conversation. But I've always been a Wonder Woman fan anyway. She's my icon, and you know,
there were two characters known as Captain Marvel, but that character always existed, and she later was known as Captain Marvel. She was known by her full name, but yeah, she was always a woman. It just because Marvel's so big, some stuff is named twice. But I interrupted you. Your idol. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Yeah. So I have a Wonder Woman wall in the office. Someday I'll post that on Twitter. You can all see my Wonder Woman stuff, and I'm drinking coffee. Large portions of it, because this is Saturday morning, and even though it's 11 o'clock, I might have just woken up a little while ago. So,
well, if you like DC, I highly recommend Teen Titans Go to the Movies, the animated movie. Mm-hmm. Wonder Woman's in it. And okay. It's hilarious. It makes fun of the DC universe. And it's a DC movie. And Stan Lee even does a cameo in a DC movie. It's that funny. And I remember going, seeing it at a WordCamp, during WordCamp Denver last year. So
every time I have a conversation with you, I learn so much because you are like a walking encyclopedia, or since we're in the digital world, you're like a walking Wikipedia on a lot of different topics. And it's, I always feel like my friends have always called me the queen of useless trivia, which I remind them is a redundant phrase, useless trivia. But I think you've got me beat as far as the trivia mindset, so that you should go on Jeopardy. You'd be awesome.
I'm good. I mean, if you want to call me a walking Wikipedia, you're more than welcome to, but the community edits are a little painful, but.
Well, yeah, that's probably true. So I love that you are like so knowledgeable about Disney. I must admit I've been to Disneyland once and Disney World once, and both in my teens. So I have not been back as an adult. Like
15, 20 years ago.
Oh my God. I love you. Yes, exactly. Not like 35 years ago or anything. But yeah, so it's awesome. I love the stuff that you post on Facebook, Twitter, that kind of stuff is diverse. It's, you're not a one trick pony where it's always about digital everything. And it's just fun. I love the stuff that you share. And so anybody that wants to follow you should absolutely follow you, because it's you just have fun with life, and it's fun to see you have fun with life. So that's cool.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, I used to do a podcast. I was a co-host for the Mouse Planet podcast, which if you want to listen to 600 hours of me, mouseplanet.com/podcast. My co-host was Mark Goldhaber, my best friend. And I love Disney. My wife and I have annual pass for both coasts, and we live in Minnesota. But I talk to a lot of other evangelists, and they're like, yeah, conference rooms around the world. That's what I see. And there's truth to that, right? Like, you're going to a lot of conventions, you're in planes all the time, but like, just by me getting the latest flight out or the earliest flight in on the shoulder days, I can see something of the city. So I make it a point to go, no matter what city I'm in, to go see something. And I talk to other evangelists in our space, and they're like, they're like, I'm burned out. I don't get any, have any fun or whatever. I enjoy the word camps, but I don't see anything. And I'm like, well, I always see something. They're like, well, yeah, but you're different. I'm like, well, why? I don't add any days unless it's close to a Disney park. Then I will add days, and those would be on my own dime. But I'll just get like a late flight out or an early flight in, and then that'll give me about 5 hours on those pre and post days to do something. And I might not be back in that city again, especially if it's international. And I try to make a point to, you know, try something new. But my wife and I love Disney. Actually, at the time of this recording, in 1 week, we'll be in Disneyland because we have reservations for Star Wars Galaxy's Edge to visit the planet of Batuu. For those who don't know what that means, it's the new Star Wars land that has opened up, Disneyland and Disney World, in August.
And you were telling me about that a little bit last weekend at Hamilton, so I know that's going to be exciting. I can't wait to follow you, your adventures through there. I'm sure you'll be tweeting and posting and sharing some of what you are encountering there. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, my wife's not excited about the merchandise opportunities that I will be partaking in, because what you see behind me is just a sample. This is the stuff that Kayla doesn't allow in the house. So it's my office, but we actually have original art and original Disney and Star Wars art in the house as well. So
that's very cool. Very cool. And I know that you're a big roller coaster enthusiast. So if there's not a Disney park, I've seen you go on Six Flags rides and things like that too.
Yeah, Six Flags, Cedar Fair, pretty much any amusement park. You know, I've gone to some, lucky enough to go to some international amusement parks. Theme parks in general, I just think it's a very interesting form of entertainment. I've done a lot of study, you know, with books and things. I've talked to historians, because you can learn a lot about the history of a community by watching, just by looking at the maps of the park. See what's new, see what's not. I mean, like, if you look at the Disneyland maps in Anaheim from when they first opened every year to now, you'll find different changes in culture and society and politics. And the same is also true for international parks. Six Flags, I'm not the biggest fan of, because they've kind of gone downhill nationwide. They're the largest chain, but I don't think they're keeping the cleanliness and service up to the level as like Cedar Fair, which has the second largest chain. You know, they own like Cedar Point and Valley Fair, our home park, and like Knott's Berry Farm and things, and Canada's Wonderland. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, there's the SeaWorld and Busch Gardens. So I try to visit them all equally, and there's also Universal in there, which makes a good product. I think they struggle from a cast member perspective because they're so close to Disney. They usually get the leftovers from Disney, the people that like got laid off or fired from Disney. So they're kind of disgruntled, although there are some amazing cast members or employees, as they call them, at the Universal Parks. But I just think it's an interesting thing. And my goal is to go back to school and get a degree in theme park management at some point.
Oh, that's cool. Very cool. And you're a cinephile, too. So you know a lot about movies. And you and I actually went to see a movie when we were the last two hangovers in Boston before our flights went out from WordCamp Boston last summer.
Yeah, we went to downtown AMC Theater that we had to go up like four flights of escalators to get to. It was this little Sundance Film Festival called 13, I believe it was.
Yeah.
And it was an interesting coming of age story. And fun fact, Barack Obama that year when he did his like year in review, put that as one of his top movies of the year.
Oh, so, very cool. I enjoyed it. And it's good.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't like run out of my way to buy it for my personal collection, but if you're interested in artsy films, they did a really good job with it. And I imagine if you have kids, which I don't, it maybe strikes different chords than it did for me. So
yeah, no, it was a good movie. It was fun. So let's kind of get into the WordPress stuff a little bit. Tell me your WordPress origin story. Everybody's got one. We all arrived here differently. So how did you get involved? I know that you're not just WordPress, and that's, you know, that you're a little more well-rounded than some of us, but tell me about how you got into WordPress.
Yeah, I steal Jessica Dunbar's saying that she did at a conference years and years ago that I'm not dating a CMS, I'm in an open source relationship.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, so I used to be on the board of Joomla. I still try to help them as a volunteer. I'm not a team member, just a contributor at this point. And I was really involved with Joomla. Joomla was kind of like my first CMS I really got involved with. I first started with .NET Nuke and started building sites in that. And then I was looking for something else. So then I went to and Fantastico, if anyone remembers that, inside the cPanel. It's what came before Softaculous. And I was going through CMSs and installing them, just looking for something that was easier. And I came across this thing called Mambo. And I'm like, well, this is cool. So then I started building sites in Mambo. And then Mambo stopped really on development. And then I found this thing called Joomla. I didn't know at the time that Joomla was a fork of Mambo. But I'm like, this looks very similar to Joomla. But, and then I just kind of stuck with it. And then I started going to my first Joomla day was in Chicago. I had to take a bus there, which that wasn't fun, but I did it. And I just started getting more and more active, ran a Joomla day with another organizer here in Minnesota, started volunteering on different divisions, you know, like trying a couple different teams. The first team I volunteered for didn't fit, and then I joined the finance team. I like that. And then was able to get some travel to go to some meetings and things. And then I became the lead of the capital team. The fundraising arm of Joomla. And I and Jason Nickerson went down to New Orleans for HostingCon. And we were working the Joomla booth, and I was also speaking. And it was my first time speaking at an international event. I've spoken at local events and like WordCamp level type stuff before, meetups, but never at like an international conference. And they took me from a half hour talk to a 2.5 hour talk with like a week notice. And
surprise.
So yeah, they're like, oh, you have a workshop now. And I'm like, I have a what? They're like, so I had to stretch a half hour of content into 2.5. So luckily I was able to pull some people in and like put them on the stage with me and like turn it into kind of a panel in the second half. But anyway, I already went to some like Joomla, like world conferences before that and other Joomla days. And I ran in at the Joomla booth, ran into Todd, which is the co-owner of InMotion Hosting. And he was starting this new company called Boldgrid. And we were talking, he's like, do you remember me? I'm like, yeah, I remember you, Todd. We went snorkeling in Mexico, owe you $40. And, which by the way, I haven't paid him back that $40 yet. And, well, it was the $40 for the snorkeling because he's like, I want to go snorkeling. I don't know where to do it. I'm like, I already got it booked. He's like, oh, add us. And then, of course, Todd, if anyone knows Todd, he, of course, offered to pay. And he's like, oh, just pay me later. And he never accepted it. But we started talking about this new BoldGrid thing. And before that, I hated WordPress. I hated WordPress. I was the stereotypical evangelist. WordPress sucks and Joomla's better. And I was that tribalism, which is funny now. I give talks against tribalism in the WordPress community and the Joomla community because I've kind of seen the light that tools are tools. Just don't be one. I don't care what tool you use. But at the time, I was a fanboy. And, you know, we have in the WordPress community, too, the people that, like, find half-truth facts and twist them to their own means. Like, well, you know, if you take out the blog sites, well, then Joomla's market share and whatever. So, he's like, yeah, I got this new WordPress product. And I was like, oh, and he's like, just take a look at it. So I did. And I tell you what, I mean, I've built WordPress sites before, but I never really got into it because I didn't know the system. I'm not going to say WordPress is easier than harder than Joomla. It's just different. I firmly believe whatever you learn on is kind of what you think is easier. I know people that swear up and down Drupal's easier. I don't believe them, but they do. And if it works for them, great. That's perfect. And so he was talking and I kind of fell in love with it. So I was at an agency and I had my agency start playing around with it. And we kind of liked it. And we were looking at different ways to use it and if it made sense and as a page builder. And I started talking with Todd and I started delving into different WordPress community stuff. I went to a couple of WordCamps before I accepted the job offer and I fell in love with the community. And I started going to WordCamps and started applying to speak and I was the token Joomla guy and that was painful. There were a lot of WordCamps which, not the camps, but specific people were like, they said things like, oh, well, you don't belong here, or blah, 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 you know. And it's that same attitude that I've been fighting ever since. And I give lots of talks on it, that I don't think tribalism is good for the open source community. We're not competing. WordPress isn't competing against Joomla and Drupal and Papaya and all these other. It's open source versus closed source SaaS options. And that's why nonprofits like the CMS Garden out of Germany is just trying to push open source CMS above proprietary options. And that's why I say tools are tools. Mm-hmm. And I don't care what tool you use, just find one that works for you. And quite frankly, go to the other conferences because you can get so much money from another conference. Like if you're the WordPress person, you go to a Drupal conference and you meet someone who's great. They're like, yeah, I don't like to touch WordPress. But sometimes they have those clients that that's what they want and they're not going to do anything else. Just like we sometimes get clients, you know, when I was doing freelancing, you know, who really want one thing and that's not your tool set. You can refer leads back and forth because then they have a WordPress person. Then you have a Drupal person or a Papaya person or a Joomla person. And you can get some good leads that way and build some relationships. And half the time, the talks will apply to you because marketing talks are marketing talks. Okay. So that was a very long answer.
I like your long answers.
So bottom line, HostingCon is how I started in the WordPress community. Although before that, my agency did build a WordPress site. There is an extension for Joomla called WordPress for Joomla, which puts in an entire WordPress build inside of a Joomla site. So you can run any WordPress widget as a Joomla module position. I did run, we did make a Century 21 site. I was on the team for it in an agency I was at, which had a WordPress only tool. And because we were the Joomla agency, we stuck with Joomla. So we used this plugin to get a WordPress install inside of a Joomla site. The optimization of that install was really hard, but it ran for 5 years and ran seamlessly. You wouldn't know it was two different CMSs in one. And if anyone's interested in that, CorePHP makes that plugin, which it's a novel approach. I don't know if I really recommend it for production after dealing with it, but that was a fun kind of WordPress site I built when I was a Joomla guy.
Do you remember the old Reese's Peanut Butter Cup commercials? You got your chocolate and my peanut butter. You got your peanut butter and my chocolate. You totally just made me think of that when you said you could combine the two. It was like the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup of the internet world.
I got to hand it to the Pidgetero twins. They're the ones that made the plugin, Michael and Steven Pidgetero, the twins, which, fun fact, used to be professional magicians. And it's not easy what they did, and they just like making cool stuff. I just don't know if it sells that well, but it's a fun plugin. I used it for a commercial site once.
That's very cool. Very cool. You have seen thousands of websites. I have seen thousands of websites. I have my pet peeves about what people don't include or overlook or skim on or skimp on or whatever. What do you think is something that you've seen over and over that people should be including in a website and they're not?
Okay, I'm going to give a controversial answer.
I love controversy. Go ahead.
I'm going to give something that they include that, not that they shouldn't be, but they're including it for the wrong reasons.
Okay.
I hate Let's Encrypt. I hate it. I hate Let's Encrypt SSL certs. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not anti-SSL. I'm not even anti-Let's Encrypt as what they're trying to do, which is to make SSL certificates more widely available and adopted, because that's all a good thing. But this is what's happening. And I know you've talked to people that think this way, and I have too. People are, the push for SSL and SSL first, you know, all of this stuff from the hosting level and CMS level, that's all good in the SEO level. But people are neglecting basic security principles because they have that little lock. They think the SSL certificate gives them protection against hackers and attacks, which it doesn't do any of that. Is it a good thing? Yes. But this push for SSL and Let's Encrypt being the free one, so everyone's defaulting to the free one, I think is giving users a false sense of security. And quite frankly, I think it's dangerous that we're not teaching better security principles to the basic level, because we did a really good job of pushing SSL, but we're not doing a good job pushing two-factor authentication. We're not doing a good job pushing web application firewalls. We're not doing a good job pushing, you know, hiding your admin thing. And yes, I know that's not technically a security thing because there's other ways, blah, blah, blah. But my point is, we're not, you know, users are ignoring good basic security principles because they see a lock and they get a false sense of security.
That's actually really good advice. So Let's Encrypt SSL in and of itself is not a bad thing, of course.
But it's
false sense of security.
It's a great project. They're doing great work. Don't get me wrong. But it's putting people into a weird comfort zone that they shouldn't be in.
Yeah, so it's just one component of security. It's not, doesn't actually secure your website. It just secures the information that passes through your website. Is that correct?
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not a security expert, but yes, it encrypts the data from the user client to your server, period. It doesn't protect hackers or any of that stuff from you. It's an important thing, specifically if you're collecting any PPI, personal protected information, credit card numbers, any of that stuff. I still think an SSL should be default for everything, but there's also other things you should be doing. Like, I'm a big fan of two-factor authentication, and two agencies ago, we required YubiKeys, you know, the little physical hardware tokens for every client. Did the clients hate it? Yes. Do we say that's what you have to do when you work with us? Yes. And you know how many clients we lost over that? Zero. Did everyone complain all the time? Yes. Did they lose their YubiKeys and we had to deal with that? Yes. But now there's other ways to do it too. You can do text messages, emails.
Right, yeah. That's awesome. What is something that you wish you'd known when you first got into the business that would have made life a lot easier that you know now and have learned over the years?
Basically, don't ignore the core. I feel like the iPhones and the smartphones and these app stores, and basically the plugin repo is an app store. Let's just call it what it is. It's an app store. Is giving people shopping impulse syndrome. I want to do this thing. Let me find an app for that. Well, there's an app for that. And then you get sites with 40, 50 plugins. And people forget what the core can do. WordPress core is a lot more powerful than people give it credit for. Joomla core is more powerful than people give it credit for. And installing a third-party thing by default, just to install a third-party thing, isn't necessarily a good thing. Mm-hmm. You want to have your site as lean as possible. Now, sometimes you can do something in core, but maybe a plugin has you do it 10 times more efficiently. And at scale, that makes a big difference. Like if you have I've done sites with 5,000 pages, you know, yes, I get that. But, you know, if you're trying to just do a simple thing, learn the core first, because too many people, especially too many people that call themselves developers in our space, are just what I like to call integrators. They're just installing things and making stuff look nice. Now, there's nothing wrong with that user group. I started as an integrator before I got into development, but it has a tendency to open up too many holes and make your sites over bloated and with too many third-party plugins.
I think that makes sense. The most number of plugins I've seen on a site that I inherited was 72.
Good number.
And they wondered why their site was so slow.
Now, when you audited that, how many were actually being used?
Exactly. Like if they wanted to have a weather app on there and they had five of them, because they didn't know which one they wanted to use, but instead of picking one and deleting the others, they were using one and the other four just sat on there. So
yeah, because they install it, see how it looks. Oh, I don't like that. Go to the next one. I'll deal with it later. You never do. And yeah,
exactly. So thinking over all the different, and I'm going to ask you to stick to just WordCamps and WordPress meetups and not the other ones for this question. But thinking of all the different WordCamps and WordPress meetups, what is some of the talks or experiences you've had or given that stand out, aside from meeting me, of course? I don't have that big a head. That really stand out as being like a mountaintop moment or, something that just really stands out for you.
Sure. Can I get a prop?
Yeah, of course.
1 second. So
it's good that you came back quickly, because I was going to have to start singing if you were like, I have to run into the house or something.
So the story of this sword.
Mm-hmm.
So this sword I got in Baltimore at Medieval Times. And this was the first time I really felt like I belonged inside the WordPress community. So WordCamp Baltimore, I knew there's a Medieval Times and I was looking for something to do. So then I started hanging out with the GoDaddy people, Noah and stuff. And they were like, you go to Medieval Times? And they're like, yeah, we want to go. And then so GoDaddy bought the tickets. And then Adam from SiteLock, ironically now at GoDaddy, Adam Warner, he came as well. And we went to Medieval Times. And then BoldGrid paid for the knighting so that everybody was knighted. And at the end, they asked us if we want to buy the swords. And everyone's like, no. And I'm like, well, I have a flight. And they're like, well, we ship. So this was like my second WordCamp I went to as BoldGrid. And I bought a sword. I remember calling Kayla, my wife, and being like, yeah, I bought a sword. And she's like, you did what? I'm like, yeah, I bought a sword. And the story of this sword inside of our company is that I expensed it. I did not expense a sword. This came out of my own money. Trust me, my wife can vouch for that. But it's now on my wall to remind me of that WordCamp. And now it's kind of a thing. Like, you know, Noah and I, we went to Blue Man Group in Boston last year. That's actually where we went to go. 13 was also WordCamp Boston last year. Yeah. And we had hashtags. We had the black and white night, so we called them Zebra Night. And it was just a lot of fun. So this would probably be this was like the first time I really felt like I was starting to develop friendships inside of the WordCamps, because it was like my second camp and it was still really new to me. So this sword means a lot to me. Another moment that kind of sticks out is so many. I would probably have to say WordCamp Europe last year, where we did a private Tesla walking tour and we had a bunch of WordPress people with us. And it was just a really cool experience to be walking the streets and go to the Tesla Museum and see all that. And it's just spending time with people. I mean, I've been to a bunch of tiki bars at WordCamps and things like that. A WordCamp Orange County last year, a bunch of us went to go see the fireworks at a VIP at a private lounge in Tomorrowland at Disneyland. And so, yeah, there's been a lot of just good like experiences. As far as talks go, I don't go to as many talks as people probably think. I spend most of my time in the hallway. My go-to is the hallway track. I go to connect with the community. That's my job. And I want to meet as many people as possible and see how I can help them. And seeing people later or getting notes saying, oh, hey, you gave me this advice and it panned out, or I did this, or I got a LinkedIn message from someone from Europe just a couple days ago. Oh, I saw your talk on WordPress TV. And I was like, oh, wow, people watch those. Huh. And it helped me and all that stuff. So that would be my answer to your question. So.
I love it. I love the sword. That's fantastic. That's a great story. So we've come to the rapid fire portion of our interview.
Okay.
And so I'm going to shoot a couple of questions at you. I don't know, six questions at you.
See.
Let's see how we go. So the first one is... it's not multiple choice.
True.
As, well, true, I could take. you could either answer with specific names of plugins, or you can answer with types of plugins to this question. But what are two, three, four plugins that you think every website should have, or your favorites?
I don't believe any website should have any plugin by default. There are too many different use cases, and use the right tool for the job. But putting BoldGrid aside and our plugins, because I really like our plugins, mm-hmm. But I wouldn't say that even every website needs BoldGrid. Maybe a piece of BoldGrid, but not BoldGrid as a whole. I really like Akiba Admin Tools, which is a tool to help you kind of optimize your database and things on crons, and it has some security things. It's made by Nick Dianopoulos, who we share half of the last name, and I've known him for years, and his wife, Crystal. And he also makes a backup plugin called Akiba Backup, but BoldGrid has a backup plugin. But his admin tools, I really like. I install that on a lot of sites. For sliders, I really like Smart Slider 3. I really, really like Smart Slider 3 because it's cross CMS. You can use it on multiple content management systems. It's super powerful. It has some awesome feeds. And for a similar reason, I also like, if you're not going to use the BoldGrid framework to build sites on, which I would recommend, before BoldGrid, I used to use Gantry because Gantry was cross CMS across four different CMSs. And I really like building on the Gantry framework when I was building that way, because I could migrate from one CMS to another if I needed to fairly easily.
Oh, very good. What's the biggest WordPress mistake you ever made, and how did you learn from it?
Let's encrypt. Let me paraphrase this. I had a freelance client with 120 hospital private sites, and all these sites, due to their requirements, were under HT password. So you need to have credentials to log in for the whole domain. And the host we were using, they were validating Let's Encrypt via a text file on the server and not DNS. And as we all know, Let's Encrypt only has a 3-month period that the certificates are valid. So because they're all on SiteLock, which picks up the certificate and loads it on the WAF level, all of those renewals failed. Mm. And we weren't notified. At least we weren't, maybe the host was. And all the sites went down when I was overseas.
Ooh, that was hard.
Yeah, so, and of course, because we're using a WAF, one party is pointing fingers at the other, you know, oh, it's the host. Oh, no, it's the WAF. You know, and then when I started realizing it was only the ones with the free SSLs that were having the issues, I started digging into why. Now, it's not a problem with Let's Encrypt. It was a problem with how the host was utilizing Let's Encrypt with their validation methods and not making us aware of that, and us in how we were using it. If we would have been aware of it, we could have put rules in place on the HT access file to allow that file to validate. It was just a really confusing thing. So that was probably my biggest WordPress mistake, was just trusting at that scale that the one-click button on the host was my friend, and not spending the time to dig into how it was deploying, because I was like, oh, the host has it, whatever.
That's really good advice, though. What's your proudest WordPress moment?
Proudest WordPress moment. Honestly, I think it's the community that we're starting to build at BoldGrid. Being able to meet a lot of people and to count people as friends and to really help people. I really believe in just, if you help people, it pays you back dividends over time. So yeah, I would say that's my proudest WordPress moment.
I love that. If you weren't working in web, what's another career you might want to attempt?
Well, I used to work for Disney years ago, so I would like to go back to maybe working for Disney, not so much at the parks and the resorts how I did before, but maybe one of their other divisions. But yeah, I would really like to work in Imagineering, where that's the creative team that kind of builds all of the attractions and stuff at Disney parks and resorts and cruise lines. I think I would like to work in Imagineering, maybe as a developer, or as a creative type, but maybe not in the web space. So.
Very cool. What's something on your bucket list?
Well, I like the orange Home Depot buckets. I'm partial to those. So something on my bucket list is to visit every Disney park internationally, and I have visited half of them. So I still have half to go.
You're a young guy. You'll do it.
Yeah, I'm confident of that. We're looking at I really want to go to Tokyo, Disney Sea, because they have a whole fort and a restaurant all about the Society of Explorers and Adventurers that I want to explore. And Tokyo Disney Sea has been rated consistently as the best theme park in the world. So I really we're looking at possibly going to Tokyo next year. So.
Fun. That's exciting. Show us or tell us about one of your hidden talents.
Well, we can try something.
Okay. And
I don't know if this is going to work, but I'm going to write something down. Okay. I used to be a professional magician. Mm-hmm. So where's my notepad? Okay. So think of a number, and this may fail horribly, but we'll see.
Okay.
Think of a number between 1 and 5, and you can tell me.
2.
2. Okay, so we're going to double that. So 2 plus 2 equals 4. Cool. And we're going to assign a letter to that. So 1 would be A, 2 would be B, 4 would be?
E. Oh, D. A, B, C, D. Sorry, yes. I know my alphabet.
Okay, now think of, now you can't say it out loud, but okay. Think of a country that begins with D. Just let me know when you have it.
Okay.
Okay, now because you did 2, we're going to go to the second letter of that country, mm-hmm. and think of an animal that begins with that letter. Let me know when you have it.
Okay.
Are you by chance thinking of an elephant in Denmark?
I am.
Perfect.
That worked well.
It did. And we did not plan that, by the way. So there we go. I showed you a hidden talent.
I appreciate that. That's fun. And I love your profile picture everywhere with the cards. That's pretty cool, too. I'm guessing you're pretty good with the sleight of hand card tricks, too, then, huh?
Yeah, I'm more of a close-up magician, which doesn't work. I've tried to do it on stages at different conferences, and I've tried to do the camera thing. It just doesn't work that well. But, yeah, I prefer close-up, more intimate magic.
Oh, so. Fun. And one thing I have to thank you for is the I would say probably plethora of bold grid pens. I've got my bold grid pen right here.
Oh, perfect.
Yesterday, I might have spilled a little bit of hot wing sauce on my shirt.
Were you out in public at the time too?
No, I was sitting in my office.
Okay. Well,
and I was like, oh man, I don't believe I just did that. And Jeff, my new employee, who's been with us just since March, across the room goes, use your bold grid pen.
Yeah, these are funny because, like, I, of course, got them here, and we buy these by the tens of thousands. Mm-hmm. I get so many tweets from, like, different people all around the world about these and pictures of them in offices, and I'm always about the useful swag. And I've gotten tweets like, hey, Bold, you got the blood out, and I'm like, yay.
I'm not asking. I'm not asking about the blood.
But I mean, it's funny, like even t-shirts, like we used to do t-shirts first and we gave like a really soft t-shirt, you know, Next Level, the same company that does most of our shirts. I think they do the gift shirts too. Next Level is the material. And I got a Facebook ad for a guy selling beehive instructions. And it was a video all about like, oh, I'll teach you how to make candles out of your beehive wax and all this stuff. And the guy was wearing a Bold Grid shirt.
That's awesome.
All in this video. And the kicker is his website wasn't even using Bold Grid, but his advertising, Bold Grid was all over it. So it's interesting how your swag gets out there.
Well, so this will tell you how much I'm used to seeing the Bold Grid pens now. I was looking for a stain remover at home. I opened a drawer, I pulled out a Tide pen, and it looked really weird to me. And I was like, where is this? Oh, it's not Bold Grid. That's what the problem was.
It's not the special edition.
It wasn't the special edition. So so I thank you for the Bold Grid pen. My mother thanks you for the Bold Grid. Every time I'm at a WordCamp, I pick up another Bold Grid pen and share the wealth. And yeah. My mother doesn't know how to build a website, so it's kind of lost on her. But the rest of us, we're all seeing Bold Grid in our offices every day.
It's one of the few pieces of swag. I can't think of any other swag that people carry with them everywhere they go. People show them to me. Oh, I got this a year ago, 2 years ago. I mean, good swag is stuff that people keep and use. And, you know, Give has some really nice mugs, as we all know. But, you know, they're not carrying those around. Now, the water bottles, I've seen people carry around the swell bottles that you have. And but, yeah, it just makes me feel good that everyone likes the Tide pens, because it was the hardest sell to do internally, because everyone's like, that's stupid. Nobody wants that. It has nothing to do with what we do. And I'm like, yeah, but people who use it and like it. And they're like, okay, get a couple hundred. Gone in 5 minutes. I guess you were right. Let's keep doing it.
So. Let's get 50,000 of them now. That's awesome. That's perfect. Love it. So tell people here how they can find you online.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at MP Mike, on Facebook at Mike Demo 42, I believe. I'm on LinkedIn under Mike Demopoulos, or you can go to MikeDemo.com. It's a silly website that literally just has links to all my socials. If you want to follow BoldGrid, you can follow us at BoldGrid or Facebook.com/BoldGrid. And we have our own podcast called the BoldGrid Bold Life Podcast, which you've already been on. And if you would like to listen to that episode, go to BoldGrid.com and listen to the archive.
Very good. Thank you so much. I can't tell you how much I appreciated talking to you this morning. You're an easy interview because you have a lot of information to share, and it's all been entertaining. My face is actually hurting a little bit from all the smiling talking to you this morning. It's a good problem to have, but I might see a hot wrap in my future today. So awesome. So thanks for being on the show today, Mike.
Pleasure.
And bye everybody. We'll see you next time.